I'm going to try something new today. If you will, I'm going to try a little experiment. And this works for you people who are listening in as well. So, if you will, bear with me. Please close your eyes. I want you to think about driving a fast car down a freeway. It's a sports car. You can have whatever color you want. The top is down. The wind is blowing in your face. It's a beautiful day. You're doing about 90, 95. Well, you're probably going a little too fast. You didn't even see that this was going to happen to you. But there it is. And if that's ever happened to you, well, you've been busted. So what happens? For me, I've been pulled over a couple of times. Once I was going too fast. I won't tell you the other times. But what happens? You know, your heart starts beating a little bit faster. I know for me, my hands get clammy. It starts to shake a little. Your throat gets dry. You find it hard to swallow. And when the officer comes up to the window, you can't speak right. Well, this is the feeling of fear. And it's been brought on because somehow you broke some law. And so now you're going to reap your penalty. Now, fear is the feeling that you get when you cannot control a situation, or you've done something that warrants you to feel fearful. And I know that fear is an emotion that all of us have felt at one time or another. So what exactly is fear? Dictionaries describe it as a feeling of agitation and anxiety caused by the presence of imminent danger. A state or condition marked by this feeling, a feeling of disquiet or apprehension, or a reason for dread. Now, there's all types of reasons why you can feel scared. Maybe you know the reason, maybe you don't know the reason you feel scared. But fear, then, is an emotion that is perceived. And people and animals also have a sense of fear. You know, perceived threat can make an animal move quickly and make them want to hide. So when we think about fear in a logical way, fear is a thing that relates to future events, but it also can relate to a worsening situation or a continuation of a situation that is problematic. Fear is not only limited to the future, but it's also limited to involves the present. One type of fear is public speaking. In doing the research, it is actually the number one fear that people have, and speaking in public. Now, I remember when I first started speaking here in church, it was nerve-wracking and frightening, and I tried to get through it as quickly as possible. So I would speak fast, stutter, slur my words. But after lots of coaching and constructive criticism, and it's gotten better. And I feel I've become less fearful in this. So this is a good thing. So it is possible to confront our fears and to overcome them. And one of the greatest prophets in the Bible was afraid of public speaking. And when God called Moses to free the Israelites, he balked at the idea, and he told God that he wasn't a great speaker. He was afraid to lead the people for this reason. It was also said that the Apostle Paul was not a great speaker and that he struggled with this. But in spite of, you know, these misgivings, they accomplished a lot. So, what things are you afraid of? What things scare you personally? Spiders? heights, darkness, small spaces, flying. Some people are afraid of clowns. These are just some of the top 10 fears that people have. So fear, we see, is a large part of the human emotional makeup. And we see that it is actually identified and spoken of in the Bible. Now, personally, I've always found it interesting that the Bible speaks of fear. So we're going to go today and see exactly what the Bible has to say about fear and what type of fear we should have. Now, usually being fearful involves dread. When you think of true fear, it's that stomach-wrenching feeling that you get, maybe when the police officer stops you or some other situation. We see in the Bible that God tells us that we should have fear for Him. But is this what He means? That gut-wrenching feeling of fear, is that the type of fear that we should have for Him? Is that what is talked about in the Bible? Well, in Exodus 19 and verse 18, the children of Israel had been brought out of Egypt. God was preparing to talk to them. Exodus 19 and verse 18 says, "Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. And then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." So there was great fire, and the mountain was shaking. We see that the Lord hadn't even come down yet. So in chapter 20, in verse 18, after he'd given the Ten Commandments, it says, "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off." Now they were afraid. They said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear you. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that His fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." So Moses here tells the children of Israel that they weren't to fear, but rather they were to avoid sinning. But what about the scripture in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 that tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power and love and discipline? Seems like there would be a conflict between what Moses said here and what was said in 2 Timothy. You know, Moses' answer was very clear and very concise. He told the Israelites not to fear in a way that brings terror and confusion. As we know, God is not the author of confusion. But rather, they were to fear with a fear that produces reverence and love, so that they would not sin. Fear, in the sense of the word that it brings terror and confusion, does not show and cannot show love or obedience. So the fear of the Lord does not denote a sense of terror, but rather of reverential awe at the glory of His presence and the power in our lives. It is having an attitude of devotion, of truly loving God first and His ways, and then by extension, our fellow man. If you turn to James 3 and verse 17, James 3 and verse 17 brings a point that I'd like to look at. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. We know that Psalms 12 and verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure and flawless like silver, refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. So back to James 3. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So James' point covered a huge point here. In that he says the wisdom of the Lord. What does the wisdom of the Lord have to do with fear? Well, the wisdom of the Lord leads to purity, as it says. In words and actions, it leads to peace. Is there any talk about fear there? Just the opposite. None of those qualities which build upon each other that we just read are based on human fear. Wisdom, as we see then, is a corollary of having fear for God. So what type of fear are we to have for God? Again, quoting 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. So just how does the wisdom of the Lord tie into having godly fear? And we need a true fear of the Lord to begin to have knowledge of God and His ways, to be able to put it into practical application for our lives. So we'll go through Proverbs and see just what it means to have fear for God. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, Proverbs 1 and verse 7, we find that fear is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the understanding of the Holy One is understanding. Then again in chapter 15 and verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So we see that the best place to begin looking for true wisdom and understanding for our lives is through the fear of the Lord. Now, to truly understand, we have to realize that true fear of the Lord begins by realizing that it was God who created all things, that it is Him who sustains all life. Now, by realizing that God is all-powerful and that His laws are in effect and need to be kept today, we can grow in understanding. But we must first learn to have awe and reverence for Him. Proverbs 3 and verse 7. Proverbs 3 and verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we see that the fear of the Lord also motivates people to be holy. Proverbs 16 and verse 6. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So when we are departing from evil, We are learning to have true reverence and respect for God. And we will not do things that bring disgrace and dishonor to God and to his name. Romans 2 and verse 21 points this out. Don't have to turn there, I'll read it for you. Romans 2 and verse 21 says, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? Do you who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? And you who have or idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written." So we don't want to be doing those things that Paul is talking about. Back in Proverbs, in chapter 10, verse 27, we see another benefit for obeying or fearing God. Proverbs 10, verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." So this is borne out in a variety of ways. You know, if we choose to disobey God's laws, we can see the effects that it has as we see the world that we live in. Now, according to different health websites, approximately 60% of human illnesses can be traced to such things as fear, sorrow, envy, resentment, guilt, hatred, and any other number of emotional stresses. When you add to these things like tobacco, overuse of alcohol, disease, etc., we see that a life lived in reverence of God with obedience to his word would result in much healthier lives for everybody. Next, we see that instead of a worldly fear, the fear of God provides a sense of security. Romans 8 and verse 31. Romans 8 and verse 31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" I meant to tie a proverb into this one, but looks like I missed that one. So we see that walking in the way of God lets us have fewer doubts and fewer fears. You know, having a good fear of the Lord produces for us a strong sense of security and a close relationship with him. Back in Proverbs 14, verse 27, says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death." So then life is given by having good fear for God. We don't have to fear death when we are being obedient. I'm not just talking about our life now, but our life to come. Revelation 21 and verse 6 Revelation 21 and verse 6, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, those who are afraid, who have fear, they will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So we see we will be given eternal life if we have a good fear for God, for his laws. But those who are fearful in this world, they won't gain eternal life. Back in Proverbs 15, verse 16, we read, Bitter is a little with the fear of the Lord, and great treasure with trouble. Also, Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction, and he will not be visited with evil. So we see that when we are living in this world and we are fearing God, we don't have to fear evil. If we're walking in the right ways, then our life and our cares are in His hands. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Christ tells us, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for neither they sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Why are you worrying? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your Father, Heavenly Father, knows what you need, all these things. And then in turning back to Proverbs 22, Proverbs 22 and verse 4, we see that God provides great things for those who fear Him. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Not only will He provide us with physical blessings, but He will give us spiritual blessings, peace, joy, hope, security, and eternal life. You'll turn to back to Psalms 111. See that David also talks about this. Psalms 111, and we'll begin in verse 10, and then we'll read through chapter 112. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Psalms 112, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in the everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he will not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved, and he will gnash his teeth and melt away, and the desires of the wicked shall perish. So we see that having fear for God will lead to great things. A favorite quote of mine says, when you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear. So when you do the right things in the right way, you have nothing to lose because you have nothing to fear. So as we've seen, God does not want us to be in continual terror of Him. That may be where we start our relationship with Him, but as we come to have a proper and mature fear of God, it means having a healthy reverence for Him and respect for the most powerful being in the universe, and then the laws that He has set in place for our benefit. You know, we fear God and keep His commandments because we love Him. Now, His laws are not put in place to cause us to have burdens. But is it possible to live in the fear of the Lord? The Bible is full of those who feared the Lord, who benefited from doing so. Now, Hebrews 11:6 tells us that Noah moved with godly fear, and he saved mankind. Jonah 1:9 tells us that Jonah feared God. Now, not enough at first to disobey Him and try and flee from God. In the end, he ended up obeying God. Job 1:1 also tells us about Job. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and turned away from evil. You know, Job feared God so much that he went out of his way to shun or to turn away from evil. And he was so zealous that he became blinded by one of the very things he was trying to avoid. But at the end of the book of Job, after much remembrance, God reminded him of why he needed to fear Him. And he continued to bless Job. So we see that the fear of the Lord produced great things in Job's life. And God blessed him tremendously. If you'll turn to Job 28. Job 28 and verse 28 says, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. If you read chapters 38 through 41 of Job, you find truly inspiring chapters that talk about the might and the strength and the absolute control that God has, and just why it is that we should fear Him with great love and awe. What about the early church? Acts 19 and verse 17. This became known both to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So we see that the early church had fear for God, and they grew. And what about the future? Will there be continual fear for God in the future? You turn to Isaiah 11 and verse 2. Actually, let's start in verse 1. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. It's talking about Jesus Christ here. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide the equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and the faithfulness the belt of his waist. So we see here that even Christ has fear for God. Turn over to Hosea 3 and verse 5. Goes Daniel, Hosea, Amos. Scripture I was looking for. But from the scriptures we've seen, you know, the duty for us today should be clear. If you turn to Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. You see that God was giving instructions to the Israelites again. And since we are spiritual Israelites today, we can take the same admonition. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today, for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger and gives him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast. Verse 21. He is your praise, and he is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. Very clearly, God tells us that we need to fear him. We need to keep his commandments and show love for him. We do this by the way we live. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear. Now, God has given us at this time understanding and knowledge of Him so that we can have fear for Him. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. We're to have fear for God so that we can receive from Him a great and awesome reward. Therefore, since you are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this: can we describe our lives as lives that we lead in fear of God? Does disobeying Him prompt us to holiness? Does a respect for Him and for His will give us strength to go forward and to continue to walk towards obedience and godliness? It's a personal question that you have to ask yourselves, that I have to ask myself. But if you can answer that, then great things are coming.